autism is one subject that is hardly talked about within the community. And now over the weekend, the Chagai Foundation TCF, in collaboration with Beyond Love Foundation, they organized an autism spectrum disorder awareness campaign. And to tell us more about the event, we are joined by Aye Madut from TCF and Yar Makwe from Beyond Love Foundation. Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here.
Right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So let us begin by understanding what autism is and how serious or big of a problem is this in South Sudan. I'll start with you, Aye.
Wonderful. Thank you, Irene. So as you correctly put it, autism is one of those topics that's hardly talked about, especially in our context. But autism is... In simple terms, it's a learning disability. So it's a developmental disorder that actually delays a child's ability to learn even basic skills, everyday skills. And this particular child would definitely need a specialist to guide them through life. Simple things like brushing, taking a bath, tying shoes, eating. And so that's why we felt that I think it's about time that we focus on, because disability is not inability.
Right.
So instead of focusing on just physical disabilities, we also want to shed light on other forms of disability, such as learning disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much. Hey, Yad, how big of a problem is this in South Sudan?
Okay, autism is a condition that actually affects how a child interact with his environment. It affects their skills, their speech. So it's actually a big problem. It's just that people don't want to talk about it, and or because here I've realized in our country, when you have such a condition, they just want to keep them aside and move on with life and pretend that no, things are okay, because people are conversed with physical disability, the one that they can see. But this thing that affects the behavior, and you see with autism, is something that you get to know as the child grows up. Like from the age of two to three, that's when you realize, oh, something's wrong with my child, because they're not able to interact.
They're not hitting the milestones.
Yes, yeah, like there's a lot of delay in the milestone and the growth.
Right.
So, but people sometimes just think, you know, they will grow with time, they'll outgrow it. But definitely that's not the way, because they need to be helped.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you say that this is not a physical disability. So how, okay, apart from the delay in catching up of this child, how do you then tell before the child hits two, or that will be too soon?
I think sometimes, actually, there's instances where you can pick up some telltale signs.
Mm.
For example, there was a very good example that was given to us during the campaign, where the mother noticed that when they were breastfeeding the child at 5 months, the child was not keeping eye contact. So the child was not interactive. You know, usually when a child breastfeeds, they touch you, they want to, you know.
Or they lock eyes with
you. They lock eyes with the parent, yes. So that's probably one of those signs that you can pick up. And so it could be picked up even earlier than two. But I think a proper diagnosis would be post 2 years.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, Yar, you know our context. Many of the people out there are living below $1 a day. And hearing from Aye, she's speaking about a specialist. And sounds like someone that needs somebody to be able to afford it. What is your message to the people? Or is there hope for the poor to help the children suffering from autism?
Honestly, that's where the main challenge comes in, because autism as a condition is a very expensive condition to manage. Because with autism comes in the issue of specialist. You're not able to handle as a parent. You need to get a specialist. You also need to get them medication sometimes, because there are those ones who get out of hand in terms of behavior.
Right.
They have to put on some medication sometimes to calm them down, because they have issues with attention. They're usually very hyperactive. So, and then there's the issue of diet. These kids, you don't put them just on any diet. They have their special diet because they're not supposed to put on anything sugary, and they're not supposed to be put on anything processed food. It's supposed to be very natural. And then some of them are very choosy. They choose what they want to eat. They refuse some textures. So it is a very expensive condition. And you see, like for you to see a specialist, like one session will cost you like per day, like $100 in some other countries, like places like Kenya.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a very expensive condition, honestly, and I don't know what you are going to do about it.
Do you have such services here?
Yeah, right now.
Specialist?
Yes. Okay, I've started myself because I have a son who's autistic. He's 12 years old. He was born on 9th of July.
You look familiar. I think I saw you on social media or something.
Yeah.
As you spoke, your voice kept resounding in my mind.
Yeah. Right. Okay. My story goes like this. I'm a mother of four. Mm-hmm. And autism hit. I had my first encounter with autism was in 2014. Mm. That's when my son was diagnosed. Because he went to school, he could not interact with other children. He was always on his own.
Right.
There was no constructive any engagement with him in class. Mm. So the teachers asked me to take him for assessment.
Right.
So when I went, they told me that he was having autism. It was my first encounter with autism, honestly. I didn't know what it was.
Wow.
But that's when my life turned upside down.
So wait, just before you go there, over the years, before the diagnosis, what were you thinking all through?
Okay, you know,
what's wrong with your child, or probably, yeah.
Okay, you know, he's my second child.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, when he was around 2 years, he was not able to do, he was always on his own. He was not speaking anything. Then he would, when you give him toys, he would bang them down.
Right.
And then would arrange them in a certain way, very destructive way of playing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was always on his own, and then he would always run to the bathroom, open water on himself. So he was not behaving like, so I knew there was a problem. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know exactly what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it. So I knew there was a problem, but you know, I was kind of in denial. So I just decided to keep it like that because I know, you know, having such things, it means it can affect a lot of things around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much for even allowing to share your story here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. I mean, would you like to jump in, Aye?
Yes. You mentioned how expensive this ordeal is.
And if there's hope for the poor.
I just wanted to put it out there. For example, statistically, globally, it is estimated that 1 in 160 children will have a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder. And the reason it's a spectrum is that you will have the functional autistic, child, and then on the other spectrum, destructive, nonverbal, and so it ranges. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think also it's, just to put a figure out there, in the U.S. it's estimated that you would need 100,000 per year to take care of one autistic child.
Wow.
So you can see how expensive it is. And this caters for example, for the nonverbal, a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, you know, that helps them with the everyday skills.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others who have some sort of physical or motor skills that need to be improved. So they need a physiotherapist.
Right.
And also, let's not forget that, especially in Africa, but particularly in South Sudan, we need to think about the parents in this whole process, because you can imagine, even when you have a physical disability that's seen, the stigma that comes with that. So just imagine a disability that cannot be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also need to think about psychosocial support for these parents.
Right.
And so I think it's not response and also catering for autism does not just fall on the parents. I think there's need for other stakeholders to be involved.
Mm.
You know, the government, institutions should probably, support such a cause, because it's not, when you're thinking about education, and this is where we come in as the foundation, we believe in holistic way of approaching education, be it formal or informal.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a child has a learning disability, it also affects our mandate, you know what I mean?
Right.
We would want to be able to see how we can support that process.
Right. And going through all this therapy, is there hope that the child will one day catch up, or that will be it for the child?
Yes. Yeah. And I think Yar can attest to that, that since she opened, she has a center in Gure, Beyond Love Foundation. And when some of the kids, when they started attending, because there's only, at the moment, they have an occupational therapist. and a social worker. When the children started attending, they were they could not focus.
Right.
But on Sunday, when we had the awareness campaign, we had the kids sitting on the ground and they were drawing and they were interacting. Mm-hmm. And they were calm for almost about 3-4 hours.
Wow.
And I think most of the parents were surprised. So we were really happy about that. So there's usually hope.
Yeah, and how did you get them to be settled for all that time?
Okay, you know, we have been working with them for some time.
Uh-huh.
Like for my boy, I've been here now for like 3 years in South Sudan.
Right.
So the first time I came here, I was looking for ways to help him. Because honestly, I decided I will not give up on my child.
Right.
And I've watched a lot of videos of other parents who have worked on their children. And you could see, you know, they've really changed. Eh? So I decided I will put him on therapy. At that time, I was doing it from home. I had a therapist that I employed. He was staying with us in the house, so he was able to do things with him and really calm him down. And he was able to sit down, do activities for himself. Then I heard there was a help in Ostratuna. It's the only place in South Sudan that offers help for children with disability.
Right.
So I went there. But you see, it was already overwhelmed because it's the only place. Mm. So all the state are coming to Juba, and Juba is going there.
Right.
So we would go there, like we'll give him 2 hours a week. We'll sit down, and then, you know, sometimes you go there hyperactive. By the time the 2 hours is gone, your time is over, then you go back with them. So I said, you know, I will not depend on that one alone. So I decided to have him to be taught from home.
Mm.
That is how now I came to see he was able to calm down. Because even at some point, he was able to sleep at night. If you don't engage him well, he would have sleep issues.
Wow.
He would be up the whole night. He would even, like, stay up to around 4. He's not sleeping. He's just pacing up and down because sometimes they have meltdowns. Or maybe if he was given something that was not good, like food that triggered the anxiety.
Mm.
Yes, because sometimes, okay, I'm at work, so I'm not at home most of the time.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So that one, but I realize now with the therapist on the ground, he was able to check what he was eating.
Mm.
He was able to do activities with him, engage him throughout until he feels like this is the routine. We have set up a routine for them, for him.
Uh-huh.
So when I went there, that's when now I met other parents who had similar cases, and we were all stranded. We were trying to look for help. So I decided, why can't I just move my therapist, the one I had, and look for a place, then all the other children will be coming, they learn.
Mm.
In the beginning, but it was very hard. If you look at even, like the way Ye has said when she organized for us that that forum, these kids were sitting there, and Ye was telling me, yeah, are you sure these kids are autistic? I said, yes, they are. It's just that we have worked on them.
Wow.
Yeah, we worked on them, and they were able to sit down. Like, when you were almost finishing, that's when you see them, they started running up and down. If you saw our live shows, they were all over the place when you were moving, when you were talking.
So how many children are you working with?
Right now, I have 6 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you're doing a good job. You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show. It is 10 minutes to the top of the hour when we will be having the news summary. We're talking about autism as a subject that is hardly talked about in the country, and the two amazing ladies work with foundations that help these children. Now, Aye, what support or what is the role of the society in this?
I think the society has a huge role to play. You know, first of all, stigmatization. You know what any condition requires is humanity, right?
Mm.
Just approaching these parents and these kids with the idea that they are part of society, you know, they are functioning members of society and should be treated as so. So they have the right to have access to anything that any other human being does. So I think the society should embrace conditions such as autism and you know, realize that not until we accept that this is something that is there and it exists, and we're not going to, sweep it under the rugs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a first step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much. Yeah. How much support do people with autism, how much support do they receive from the members of their family? Like how much support do you give to your child that maybe a person hearing you should probably borrow a leaf from what you do?
Okay. Personally, you see, like the way Ye has said, you know, dealing with such a condition by day is very hard for a parent.
Mm.
Not many parents have accepted their children. And for me, I've accepted mine. With all that comes with it, with all that has happened to me and him, I've accepted I've accepted him the way he is. So I would advise people to just accept their children and just be there for them. Because, and right now, I can see the difference. when I was struggling to accept him, and now that I've completely accepted him, he's so much at peace. Many people who know me when I first came here to Juba, my friends and family come to the house. The first time I brought him, he was all over. He was crying. He was just anxious. He wasn't okay completely. But I took my time to be there for him. Like my boy, he loves cuddles. He loves to be hugged. He's a hugging person. So I gave that one a lot to him most of the time. Even when he's having a meltdown, I give him a hug. I do him a massage for him. He will just calm down. If there's anything, my boy, if one day he will ever open his mouth, which is something that I'm still praying for. Right. I hope that one day he will call me mama. He will be able to talk. That is my prayer. I know one day he will tell me that I really showed him the love. I gave him the love that he needed. And that's the first step that I actually did. Before I went looking for therapists to help him, he knows that in that house, he's fully accepted, he's fully loved. I'm also being supported a lot by my family. My mom is there. My uncles are there, my family, because after my marriage broke down and I was thrown out with him because I lost the custody of my other children. I only have him right now. My family, they took me in completely, and they were there for me. And I felt like, even my friends, I felt like, now if people have been there for me, why can't I pick up myself? Why can't I pick up my pieces and I move? And that's what I did. So some people showed me love, and I showed that love to my child. And that's why we are okay. So for this, for the parents that who feels it's hard, yes, but it can be done. If you decide one day you're going to do it, it will happen.
This is powerful. Aye, what advice would you share about autism?
I would say that I want people to note that autism, as we term it, as a learning disability, delay, right? It's sort of a neurodivergent type of delay. But we've seen around the world that, in fact, children with autism spectrum disorder have a particular skill. They're probably, some of them are like highly mathematical. Some of them are musicians. There's even a famous musician who has Asperger's. And so we also have to to note that they may have a particular skill that none of us could even fathom. So I feel like the community, or South Sudan communities, should embrace but also support parents throughout this process, because we're all in this together. And I think we keep forgetting that every time we you know, on the way we approach people, on the way we treat people. So my advice is, treat people with kindness.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for making our time to speak to us this morning. Because of time, I'll give each one of you 1 minute for your last remarks. I'll start with you, Yar.
Okay. All that we need for these children is for us to love them and accept them like the way they are, and we seek help for them if possible. And for the society, we should really stop this issue of discrimination. Personally, I've decided I'll change the narrative of people thinking that these kids can just be put aside and move on with your life. That's not something that I will accept. People should just be there for each other. Personally, right now, I run the center, but because of lack of, I know I don't have that much money for it. It's few parents, some of us, that are paying for the therapies and, you know, for the rent. But you see, my own mom, she has decided to be there to cook for these children during the day and clean up the place. Even my cousins. And then there's one of the parents who comes also. He's called Emmanuel Lado. He's really been helpful with the family. They come there with their also nanny. They, after the kids are done with their sessions and everything, they put up back the toys, they clean the house, they leave it clean, and they go back. So that's the kind of support that we need from people. This center is still very young, but I know it's going to serve the purpose for our children. And people should come out and support and these children and their parents.
Thank you so much, Yar. Yes, Aye.
So, as Yar just said, the center is there, and to alleviate the pressure on Osratuna, this can be a center also. And for those parents that have children with learning disabilities, you're more than welcome to reach out. Our office at TCF is at Mobile Roundabout. So please, if you want to learn more about autism, if you feel like there are services, there are some people with expertise that are within South Sudan that we don't know. If you're an occupational therapist, if you're a speech therapist, if you're a physiotherapist, if you're a social worker that can provide psychosocial support for the family, please reach out. I'm sure Yar and the center would be more than happy to receive your kind gesture.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Yar Mankwe. And I mean, and Yar Madud, thank you so much for your time.